Many of you who joined us for worship last week experienced the joy of the infant baptism of little Brooks as we celebrated his parents' dedication to nurture him in our Christian faith and that he could experience the outpouring of God's love even in his infancy. As we thought about that baptism last week, I encouraged you to remember your own baptism. And today, as we transition from celebrating that sacrament of baptism last week, we also get a glimpse of Jesus introducing what will be the second sacrament in our tradition of faith, known as the Lord's Supper. You know, when we think of sacraments, maybe that's one of the most cherished parts of worship, right? That we miss being able to gather together during this time of pandemic. At Memphis Theological Seminary, right now, we're embodying a new ministry that I've shared with some of you called Sunday Morning Seminary, an opportunity where we offer Sunday school for those of you who want to log in and watch even at a later date, a way that reminds us that the seminary, the academy, seeks to serve the congregation and not the other way around. It exists for you, the grassroots of our church. And in that Sunday Morning Seminary, last week the emphasis was on worship in a time of pandemic. Our professor, Dr. Chris Brown, an African-American Baptist pastor for 20 years at St. Paul Church, he said this about the sacraments. And I want to embrace some of that as we reflect today, that we are reminded that even though we can't be together as the body worshiping face-to-face for maybe a bit more time, we can still experience the beauty even of those sacraments in distance. We did that with baptism last week. And let's remember what the sacraments teach us. The sacraments are gifts given to us by God. They're actions, they're things, they're experiences that we have that communicate God's love and grace in a way even greater than words can at times. Okay? So if we backtrack, look back to last Sunday, and think about the sacrament of baptism. One of the central tenets I shared with you at Brooks Baptism last Sunday was to say this. This is a reminder. It's something that touches our body and engulfs our spirit that reminds us that salvation is a gift from God. Right? That's perhaps the greatest sign that we're called to remember in baptism, that salvation is a gift of grace. So the Lord's Supper is a reminder of how we receive that gift of salvation. You see, the gift is through baptism, the reminder, and salvation, experiencing our growth in grace through the Lord's Supper, reminds us how that gift was possible, that Jesus gave his very body and his blood to gift us with life and love forever. It's something we touch, we taste, we experience, we remember. But I want to challenge us today, as we hear this text of Jesus having the miracle of breaking bread, sharing what could be in some ways the first communion of his saints in the church, that we be mindful. Is there ways that we as the church, even in our distance worshiping, can celebrate the sacraments every day? What about when we take a shower in the morning or come in from working in the yard and we drink a big glass of water? Can't we be mindful of the fullness of baptism, of how God gifted us, renews us, washes us from our sin, and the gift of Lord's Supper? Can't we at every meal have a simple reminder of the gift of the table? that as we receive food into our body, as we're nourished, can't we individually worship and celebrate that sacrament on a daily basis throughout the day as we're nourished, being mindful that God nourishes us through His grace? You see, what I'm convinced of, friends, as we consider this time of pandemic, as I lamented with one of our church members yesterday, who said, I hope the session considers soon for us to come back to church. And we all yearn to be back together, to be able to hug and embrace and worship face to face, close to one another. One thing that we can do during this time of pandemic, hear me now, church, is that we can re-examine our individual worship on a daily basis, our individual worship, even as we're losing and not experiencing fully our corporate worship. So that's really what I want to focus on today. As we consider the gift of the Lord's Supper that was given to us in baptism, as we lament me not being able to worship together, how can this pandemic help us grow more fervently in our daily and individual worship? Well, you see, if we believe that the Lord's Supper and the first miracle of Jesus breaking the bread and giving the fish were a gift of worship that reminds us to be thankful, that's what's at the core of the Lord's Supper. And as good Protestants of those in our Christian tradition, we believe that worship is central to our faith. And I guess that provokes in me a question, and maybe for you, why is worship so important? Why is it central to our faith? Not just growing in our knowledge about Christ or understanding Scripture better, but why is worship so important to our life of faith? Well, you see, I think that what God is saying to us through this gift today, through this holy scripture that we shared, that just as those people were nourished in a miraculous way, hear this with me, church, when we practice thanksgiving, when we are grateful for what God has done for us, then we too experience a miracle in our life, a miracle of joy. Hear this with me. Have you ever had a family member that's kind of negative? Or maybe when you were a young person, your parents said, quit having a pity party all the time. Count your blessings, right? We sing about it when we're young. Why do they tell us that? Because they know if we have an attitude of gratitude, we're going to be happier. We're going to be less consumed. We're not going to be spoiled and ungrateful for what we do have. You see, the same is true, and in a far greater way, with our spiritual relationship with God. God calls us to worship, to count our blessings. Why? Because God loves us. And God wants us, like any loving parent, to know the fullness of joy of counting our blessings and embracing attitudes of gratitude. Friend, that's why worship is central to our faith. So may we embody our individual worship daily. How do we do that? We experience and remember our baptism. We remember the Lord's Supper. And friends, we can practice little things like gratitude journals. Write down every day three things that you're grateful for. Three things that you're thankful for, and celebrate what God is already doing, enhancing your individual worship, even in this time of sickness and separation. Because friends, I'm going to borrow from the works of Ann Voskamp today, who said that there are miracles of grace in thanksgiving. Throughout scriptures, we see examples, certainly in today's text. Our scripture says that Jesus took bread and he broke it, and after he gave thanks, asked God's blessing, then the bread was multiplied. You see, I'm silly enough to believe, I'm impassioned enough about the grace of God to believe that when we practice thanksgiving, miracles of multitude of joy pour into our heart. It's throughout Scripture, as Voskamp would say, as we all think about the story of the 10 lepers. You remember that passage where Jesus healed them and he said, go and present yourself to the priest. And one of those lepers, a Samaritan, returned and he gave thanks to Christ. You remember what Jesus said? Son, go. Your faith has made you well. You see, I'm convinced that Jesus wasn't just simply speaking of his physical being well, but Jesus was saying, because you embody thanksgiving, you are truly well. Not only physically, but spiritually, emotionally, relationally. When we embody that spirit of thanksgiving like the Samaritan, friends, we are set free more from depression, stress, the anxieties and worries of life, the pity parties where we wonder, when is this going to end? We celebrate what God is already doing. I'm preaching to myself as much as I am to you. I'm reminding myself to count my blessings daily and to embody thanksgiving and the miraculous joy that we embody when we receive that. Also in Scripture, when Lazarus was raised from the tomb, one of the great miracles of our faith of coming to life, do you remember that just before Jesus told him to come forth, he said this, Lord, I thank you. And Jesus also so embodied the importance of thanksgiving that 12 hours before his death, as we see a precursor to in our text today, 12 hours before his death, he gathered his disciples, his friends, and he took bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and he offered to them. One of the last examples of his ministry on earth to his disciples was to say, be people of thanksgiving. Be people of worship. You see, so often in our faith tradition, we think of church being a performance for us as the congregation, as the worshipers. I don't know if y'all ever watched the Little Rascals growing up. I used to love the Little Rascals, and I remember once they were in a school play. And in the play, Spanky and the others were up on the stage. And in front of the stage, they had these big, looked like seashell things. And the audience couldn't see who was inside the seashell, who was inside the stage. And that's where their teacher was. And she'd be telling the students what to do. She was what we might call a prompter or a director. Maybe you saw that episode once. But oftentimes, we think of worship in that same capacity. We think of God as the director, kind of telling the actor what to do, the actor being the preacher, being me, and us as the congregation being the audience, the ones being entertained at worst or inspired at best. But there was a theologian once named Soren Kierkegaard who said this. He said, we need to turn that model, that understanding of worship, upside down. He said, we don't need to think so much of God as the director, the preacher as the actor, and us congregants as the audience. He said, no, we need to think of the preacher as the director, the congregation as the actors, and God as the audience. Wow. Friends, that is true worship. When we began experiencing and offering our worship to God, we proclaim joy to the highest heaven, and I'm convinced we know our most joy too. That's the gift. That's the holiness. That's the miracle, dear friends, of thanksgiving. That's why we saw a multiplication in our text today. It began in Jesus giving thanks to his Father in heaven and those who received being thankful. But finally, I want to end with one last story about being thankful, about God's grace. I got my hair cut this week. Some of you might can tell, some of you might not can. And there was this little boy, 4-year-old boy, who was getting his hair cut too. And he was being so good, sitting there, not causing a bit of problem. His daddy had his hair cut first, then the son came. And it was his birthday, 4 years old. So I pulled out my wallet, and I had a $2 bill I'd been saving in there for some time. I'd gotten it from one of our Rotary meetings. And I gave that little fella that $2 bill. And everybody was impressed. The barber was, his daddy was. Everybody just couldn't believe I gave him a $2 bill. Everybody was so happy except the little boy. It didn't really mean much to him. In fact, the barber gave him a little 2-cent piece of gum, and that meant more to him than my $2 bill. Now, we all know why that was. At his young age, he doesn't know the importance, the value of paper money. He doesn't know how unique a $2 bill is among other denominations of currency. You see, before we can truly be thankful for something, we have to know its value to us and our life, right? Well, dear church, let's receive together today the essence of what God is saying we benefit from in being thankful. Beyond the specific things that we're thanking God for, even if it wasn't just those individual experiences, know this, that in a way that that young boy couldn't understand the benefit of that currency I gave him, may we open our eyes and know that when we are thankful, there is a benefit beyond anything our world can give us. There is joy in our heart. There is a renewed appreciation for what God's done for us. And there is a commitment for us to share what we've been blessed with the world around us. So as I end today, friends, I ask you this. Is there room for more joy in your life? Is there room for more happiness, more appreciation for what God's done? If there is, I challenge you, as I receive this challenge today, during this time of pandemic and sickness and separation, to embrace more of a commitment of your individual worship, your attitudes of gratitude, so that you may know the true joy of your salvation, so that your light will shine, and that God will be glorified. Amen. At this time, let us pray together for God's people and all of our loved ones. Oh Lord, we are grateful for this day that you've made. Your blessings are without end. Our scripture tells us and reminds us that all good things come from above. Oh Lord, may we count those blessings. May we be people of individual worship, even as we lament our corporate worship. May we embrace attitudes of gratitude. And as we count our blessings, be blessings to those around us. We pray, oh Lord, for your church, for each of our individual congregations, for our United Church. We're a part of a church together now, all of us who worship together, regardless of denomination or location, or even when we share in this sermon. Will you hear our prayers? Will you strengthen our ministries? Will you be, oh God, with our nation? We lift up our president, our Senate, the Congress, the Supreme Court. We pray for healing from this pandemic and restoration for racial division in our land, that we all will be united through your love and through your grace. We pray for the sick and the hurting and the hopeless. We pray for family and friends, for every person whose name's been mentioned this day, for the names that went unspoken. We pray right now for those closest to us, God. Collectively, we pray for individual family and friends. We pray for each one who's worshiping with us right now. Here's what we ask, God. We ask for miracles of grace for them. We ask for healing and wholeness, whether the illness be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, relational, or professional. You are the physician, O God, who brings restoration. And now, God, as your children of grace, those delivered through your love, we join our voices as one, and we say together the words of prayer you taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not, God, into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you. Good to worship with you. Have a great week, and worship where you are, your God, all the time. To him be glory now and forever. Amen.